something's happening here that's going to unfold this next year. So if you turn to Revelation, the 21st chapter, and verse number 3, it says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Shall there be any more pain? For the former things are passed away." "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." He makes all things new. Amen. Even old guys. Glory to God. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He's the author. He's the finisher. I want to finish my course. Paul said, "I fought a good fight and I finished my course." Hallelujah. There is nothing more important than finishing what we started. Nothing saddens me more than knowing people who have started but they never finished. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. God, you're here in such a marvelous way tonight. Anything can happen. Lord, in the middle of the preaching, do what you want to do, oh God, to each and every one of us. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's something about the last day of the year that screams out for a fresh start, a new beginning, a do-over. You know, and this time I'm going to get it right. How many times have I said, "God, this time I'm going to do it right. I promise you." Many of us have already made New Year's resolutions. I don't. I really don't. Maybe sometimes. They say 80% of the resolutions made are about eating. You know, the first sin came into this world because of eating. I heard some of them today that I'm going to eat more good food and lose weight. Well, I don't know how you can fulfill both of those resolutions at the same time. Hallelujah. I've determined not to eat artichokes and beets and oysters and no more chicken livers. I can see the admiration in your faces right now. You know, we can determine to not do things that we don't like. Amen. But the real test is when I pass one of the 24 Culvers within 10 minutes of my house. Good resolutions are like crying babies. They should be carried out immediately. The word resolution means a formal statement of decision or expression to take a course of action. See, you can say your resolution, but will you do your resolution? Will you express it? I think we need to be accountable to one another for what we're going to do for God. That's why God wants us to gather together. So here we are again at the last few hours of 2019. Most of us look at the New Year's as an opportunity for a fresh start. Anybody want a fresh start? It seems like this year, more than ever, there's a lot of things that we want to put in the past where it belongs. You know, not dwell on what happened, but look forward to what's going to happen. Amen. So let's take a look at Exodus, the 12th chapter. Exodus 12 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So here is what happened. God says to Moses, listen, you tell people that there's going to be a brand new beginning. And then most of you know what follows, that they had to take the lamb and they had to all kill it in the same night. And then they had to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel of the door. And when the angel of death passed over, saw the blood passing over them, so there wasn't any judgment. Now, what happens with us is when we're baptized in Jesus' name, that blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world has been applied to us, and then it becomes a brand new life for us, a beginning of months, a new and living better. Jesus is the author. He is the finisher of each of our lives. God wrote the book on you. And our job is to act out what he has already written. All he's saying is, here's the script. Why don't you do what I'm telling you to do? Practice it, memorize it, actually do what's in the book. And I believe the greatest word that Israel could ever hear from God would be, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. There's something that's so exciting about beginnings. You'll get a fresh start from all of your bondage, all of the things that you endured in Egypt, the freedom to serve the one true God like never before. You don't have to do it in the presence of your enemy. You now have the freedom to walk away from all of the heathen customs that have been around you. They had never experienced freedom like that before. They didn't even have that concept in there. And we didn't have that concept either until we walked into a spirit-filled church. Hallelujah. We find in the 15th chapter of Exodus that the people were on a high after coming through the Red Sea. They were excited. Now I am free. Now I've seen God like I have never seen God before. All their enemies were killed. It wasn't like we got a reprieve from the enemy, but they are gone. They're drowned. And they began to sing for the first time after 430 years. They got excited. There was a joy down in their soul like nothing before. It's like somebody who has spent 20 years in prison for something that they didn't do. And all of a sudden the gates are open and they walk out. They don't walk out sad. They don't walk out mad. This is also the first time in Scripture where someone danced before the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know what church you came out of, but I didn't do any dancing in my Lutheran church. You know? I mean, they'd have hauled me away. And I've said this before. You can find a lot of people who have never danced, you know, in worship, but you'll never find somebody who has only danced once, because there is a freedom in moving your feet that gets you all excited, and you want to feel that feeling again, you see. Hallelujah. So you'll go to Exodus, the 15th chapter. Exodus chapter 15. We used to sing this song. I don't know if we've sang it in this church. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength, my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the habitation of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and the mighty men of Moab tremble shall take hold upon them. All of the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Hallelujah. Anyone feel the joy of the Lord after being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost? You just, there's something about it that just causes you to be excited. Hallelujah. Our faith is high. We believe God can do anything on our life. We feel a freedom to worship God like we have never felt before. I don't know how anybody can keep their hands down when we're in the presence of God or want to sing and rejoice. Realizing God has destroyed your habits. God has destroyed your fears. God has consumed your enemies. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Hallelujah. Amen. The word liberty in the Greek means freedom or a legitimate license to worship. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we have a license to worship him. Hallelujah. Our faith was soaring. Doubt was unthinkable. Nothing was impossible for our God when we were filled with his Spirit. Discouragement was impossible. It was a brand new beginning for us. Defeat was incomprehensible. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, I could wait to get to church, but I want to get there now. What new thing will God do? Or what will God show me? In June of 1979, I was in the process of developing a subdivision. It was all complete. All the engineering was done. Roads were in. All of the utilities were done. I had something like $500,000-$600,000 invested, and there was a town board who would not allow me to sell lots. Now, this is the beginning of the season for building, because there wasn't grass in the ditches. I remember going before the board and said, listen, I'll put up $50,000. If some reason the grass won't come up, you can take that and replant it. No, we want to see grass in the ditches. Now, we're in a dry season, you know, and what are the chances that grass is going to grow? And by the time it does, well, the building season is, and I'm thinking, I'm going to lose everything. I'm just in the church a little over a year. And I remember standing in the middle of the subdivision just over here with a rake in my hand. And I said, God, I'm going to close my eyes. And I'm asking you, God, I want to see grass in all of these ditches when I open my eyes. I believe there's nothing impossible for you. And so I prayed the prayer and I closed my eyes and I believed with all of my heart when I opened my eyes, there was going to be grass that is going to come up out of those ditches. And I opened my eyes and there wasn't a blade of grass that came up. But I had that kind of faith to believe it. God may not have answered my prayer, but he was impressed with my faith, you see. When we get to that place where we believe God for everything, he may not give us everything, but if we have that kind of faith to believe you're going to do it, God, hallelujah. In Exodus 27, just a few days later, the children of Israel came to a place called Elim, an oasis with 12 wells and 70 palm trees. It was a beautiful place in the wilderness, plenty of water, a place of rest, a place of refreshing, not too long after they crossed the Red Sea. But they couldn't stay there. The journey had to go on, you know? This atmosphere is so awesome. Sometimes I feel like, let's just stay here, you know? But you got to go on. You got to leave this place. You got to take this information, this gospel to other people. We've got to make a living. We have to provide for our families. We can't just stay in a place of rest. Now look at this. Right between the crossing of the Red Sea and all of the rejoicing and the refreshing at Elim, there came frustration, disappointment, and distress. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't understand it, God. You just divided the Red Sea. You just killed all of my enemies, and now I've got problems. So let's take a look at Exodus 15 and 22. Chapter 15, verse 22. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the water, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I've been saying this so long, and some of you don't even hear it anymore. God's not looking for a better program. He's just looking for better people. If we will follow what God wants us to do, I'm telling you, he will not put all of these things that the world suffers with. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing how fast we forget Sunday's service when Monday's problems show up? Oh, this is good. Until, you know, we have a problem. And I'm glad the man of God didn't panic, but he prayed. And God showed Moses a tree that would change everything in their life. You know, Calvary's tree can change everything. Everything that's bitter can now become sweet because of Calvary's tree. Once the tree fell into the water became sweet and refreshing. The reason the water was bitter was never revealed. You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you went through. It doesn't matter why the problem showed up. What really matters is God's going to take care of the problem. Hallelujah. Well, why would you allow this to happen? It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. God is not in the diagnosis business. He's in the deliverance business. Amen. He doesn't have to tell us why in any of those situations. But all we have to do is have the faith to believe. You know, if he took me this far, if he's the author, he's also the finisher of my faith. We should rejoice in all of our victories and be refreshed daily in the Holy Ghost. But somewhere in between, we will come to our own Mara. There's going to be some situation within our lives that we're not equipped in order to handle. So we have to go to the tree. We have to go to the cross. God, you suffered for me so I don't have to suffer. There are some things I would have changed in this last year. No, there's a lot of things I would have changed in 2019. But then I look at the highlights of my wife being healed and some of you being filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Perhaps more victories or more time under the 70 palm trees, more refreshing. But without the bitterness, perhaps we would never see the value of Calvary. You did this for me. The entire book of Deuteronomy is Moses reviewing the blessings of God. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to come into the promised land and you're going to have ready-built houses and wells that are dug. I'm going to give you things that you have never worked for. And then he also was warning the people of falling into sin and temptation. Because of being surrounded by heathen nations and being too comfortable because of the blessings of God, those are the two things that we have to look out for the most. That, you know, God blesses us, we become so comfortable, God has given us so much, and now all of a sudden we're not as tenacious about serving God as we once were. And then because of all of the heathen nations that are around us, we're surrounded by so many things. We have so much information that comes into us that is so corrupt. Every newscast is so corrupt. All the things that are going on in this world is so corrupt that we can get to the place where we're frustrated and we become. The book of Acts takes us into the promised land. It's the only book in the Bible that tells us how to get saved. But all of the epistles warn us how easy it is to fall into sin once we come into the church. So we find out how to get saved, and then for the rest of the New Testament, it's how to live in the church and how to survive in the church and what is right and what is not right in the church. It's letter after letter to save people, not unsaved people. You can't find a plan of salvation in the epistles. It's only in the book of Acts. Moses knew the temptations of living where they were surrounded by people of other cultures and who would serve many other gods. And he was always afraid that they would take up with those people, intermarry with those people, and then end up serving their gods. Don't let your kids date somebody that's not in the church. Don't let them spend time with ungodly people. You know, you're not hurting their future. You're helping their future. We're protecting the most valuable thing that we have. Hallelujah. Amen. There are some places we should not go. There are some things that we should not see. Amen. We don't make provision for the flesh because it's so easy for this flesh to fall. Hallelujah. Before, in the wilderness, they were exposed to very few things. No temptations, really. Now, hear me tonight. We will all be tempted on a regular basis. But temptation is not sin, yet it is a doorway to sin. So there's a misconception that when I'm tempted, I see something, I hear something, I'm drawn to something. Oh God, I am so sorry. No, no. The temptations will always be there, but the temptations aren't sin. It's the following the temptations. It's following the lust. I'm telling you, the greatest person on the face of the earth is always going to be tempted because the enemy of our soul is never going to give up. He's always going to want us to be pulled out of the church and into his kingdom, you see. Paul declared in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Well, if Paul, probably the greatest of all of the apostles, if he was tempted on a regular basis when he wanted to do what was right, but then he couldn't do what was right, how much more would each and every one of us struggle with various temptations? We are. There's probably not a day that goes by that I'm not tempted with something, but we have to resist those things, you see? Hallelujah. So turn to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We can get to the place where we feel so confident in the Lord that we, you know, we get careless. I can go there. I can do that. That's not going to bother me. You don't understand how weak this flesh is. And then it goes on to say, there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So there isn't anything that comes up against us that God doesn't make a way for us to get out of it. And it's not you. It's not just you. It's common to all men. But the problem is when we have these temptations, we're thinking, how can I be this weak? How can I be so fragile? How come I can't be stronger for God? Well, no, it's common with everybody, and you shouldn't feel that condemnation simply because this flesh wants something that you know is not right. If you go to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15, it tells us, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So he feels everything that we have ever gone through, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus himself was tempted, but he didn't sin because of the temptation. And then James chapter 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God never sets up a situation in your life to test you to see how strong you are. Not going to happen. But every man, wow, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of what? His own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So there's this process. You have the opportunity. Don't play with it. Don't answer the phone. You know? Glory to God. You know, I said to my wife a couple of days ago, oh, I missed the call from a telemarketer. I'm so sad. You know? Well, we're getting calls all the time. The enemy is putting thoughts into our mind to see if you'll grab a hold of it, you know? Just don't answer the phone. Exchange the thought for a good thought. Gird up the loins of your mind. Think on these things that are lovely and of a good report. Hallelujah. If there's any virtue, if there's any, you see? You know, those who succumb to sin are those who won't gird up their mind. They won't make offense where they know they should, and they make provisions for the flesh. So we must guard against temptation, but we shouldn't feel condemnation when temptation comes. Just exchange the thought, because it all starts up here, based on what we see, based on what we hear, you see, and we need to put a guard at the gates. All right. So if we want to have a great year in 2020, there's one thing that we must focus on more than anything else. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you turn to Philippians, Philippians 3 and verse number 13. Here's what Paul says. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. 2020 is right in front of us. Forget about 19. Forget about 2010. Forget about that thing that happened to you in 1991. Forget about it. There's nothing you can do about the past. The past needs to be in the past. So if you can just do this one thing, forgetting those things behind, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and in anything be ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. It's I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have to press in. Want to get closer to you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. There are too many people who have been dragged down because something happened to them years ago. And they cannot let go of it. Cannot. And you cannot have a great year coming up if you're still way back there grieving about what happened. I know there's a lot of unfair things that have happened to us, every one of us. You know? If we want a fresh start, a new beginning of months, then it's imperative that we forget those things that are behind, the disappointments, the unkind words and actions of other people. Forget the old life and the old lifestyles. Put Egypt in the rearview mirror, and especially put our failures in the past. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. We all had a sordid past, those of us who came into the church and were converted. But I'm not going to tell you what happened to me. And I don't want to know what happened to you. Because God doesn't remember those things. And if God doesn't remember, why would I bring them up, you see? I tell everyone that's been baptized in Jesus' name, you don't have a past anymore. So why go back there? You know, I find people saying, I'm sorry for things that happened years ago. Well, you don't have to, because God not only washed your sins away, but he forgot them. And all it does is drag you down, and it doesn't allow you to have the joy of the Lord in the future. Hallelujah. Because we can't have a new beginning carrying baggage from last year or the year before. You know, if I could just get this thing, if that person would just apologize, who cares? I just have to have clean hands before God, you know? I'd like a lot of people to like me, but I can't force people to like me, but I can force God to like me. Hallelujah. Fresh start. I want a fresh start. I want some great things happening here. Hallelujah. I was reading in Exodus, the 15th chapter, and Moses is saying that, here's what I want. I want everybody to be strong. I don't want one feeble person in the tribe at all, because I want God to be able to reveal himself. And the larger we get, the harder it is to not have one feeble person in the congregation. But if we were all pushing towards the prize of the high calling of God, oh my, oh my. Turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So if we set it aside, I'm not going back to that thing. I'm not going to think about it in the middle of the night. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But we can't run the race with patience if we haven't set aside the sin that so easily besets us. Now, what's true for one person isn't always true for another person, but we all have that vulnerable area within our lives that we know we have to stay a long ways away from. And we can't not have these hard feelings towards somebody else. You know, yeah, it was wrong. Whatever they did to you, or, you know what? It's only crippling you. It's not crippling them. I've said a long time ago, nobody can hurt my feelings unless I give them permission. You know? So I'm sorry. You don't like me. I'm sorry. Okay, that's all right. You know, I like you. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. I want tonight to be a new beginning for each of us. Last year, on New Year's Eve, I preached the message from this pulpit, and the upper room experience was here, and there was an angel standing right over there. I've said it many, many times since then. I believe there's angels in here tonight, and I believe there are angels that want to help us to live the life that is pleasing to God. But we can't hold back. We can't keep the weights that so easily beset us and still have a good year coming up. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, it is so simple. All we have to say is, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. Now all of a sudden, there's this great big eraser that comes out in heaven and wipes the board clean. Okay, start again. Hallelujah. Amen. Sounds like a fresh start to me. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The words new creature in the Greek is fresh as the original formation. Want a fresh start? Hallelujah. All you have to do is ask God, the God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. You know, some people might think, well, I've gone too far. No, you haven't. You haven't. You haven't. You haven't. If you want a fresh start tonight, you can have a fresh start tonight. Draw a line in the sand, jump over it, and say, God, this is the year I'm going to get closer to you than I have ever before. This is the year I know I'm going to have to make some changes. I know I've resisted tithing. I know I've resisted attendance. I know I've been resisting prayer. I know I haven't been worshiping you with all my heart, soul, and strength. But this year, God, hallelujah, amen. He's the inventor of fresh starts. Hallelujah. His mercy endureth for 3 years. No. Forever. Forever. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, the longer I live for God, the more I wonder if he can even see anything good in me. You know, I remember driving home from church once, and I passed a tavern, and it was summertime, and there were two guys that plowed through the door, punching each other. You know, I obviously got into an argument, and I said to my wife, if you ask those guys if they're going to heaven, they'd say, yeah. You know, I'm probably better than somebody, you know. And I'm coming home from church thinking, God have mercy. I just want to be saved. You know, the longer you're serving God, the more you realize it's a miracle that I'm even saved in the first place. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So we want to take communion. We don't do this very often because we don't want it to be a routine. It's got to be something that we really take very seriously. So let me read the account. 1 Corinthians. The 11th chapter. Now, to give you a background, this was instituted at the Last Supper. All of the disciples were there, and Jesus is telling them about communion. Now, they were gathered there for the Passover, and the Passover was to remember when Israel was delivered from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. And so what he was doing is at the Passover, he was now changing this to communion because he now becomes the Lamb that is delivering us out of the bonds of sin. And so from this point on, we're no longer celebrating Passover, but we're celebrating communion. And in 1 Corinthians 11 and 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Not for the washing of away of sins. It doesn't save us. It remembers who saved us. "After the same manner also he took of the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Remember the suffering I went through. Remember the blood that I shed for you. And why? "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." He's coming. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or have died." So I think the last time we had communion, I said, you know, if this is done unworthily, you know, there's consequences. But if we're doing it with the right attitude, there is a blessing to us, you see. So this communion was established before the disciples were baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. So everyone is a candidate to take communion here tonight. I remember years ago giving time for people to go to other people and make things right. I just don't believe that. I really believe what you need to do is say, "God, forgive me if I've had any ought against anybody else. Will you take this away from me? Because I want to have communion with you." And when I have problems with other people, I can't possibly have communion with you. Amen. And so that's what we want to do. We want to draw closer to God and remember what he has done for us. This Christmas season, this New Year's Eve that opens the door for so much opportunity for this coming year. I want to have clean hands. I want to be right with God. Amen. The world doesn't understand that, but we do. Glory to God. So would you stand with me and Brother and Sister Dorflinger, would you come up and help with the serving? I'd like to have some people come and help with the serving. Brother and Sister Hoffman, would you come be servers? Brother and Sister Coffey, would you come, please? Brother and Sister Brown, would you come? Amen. Glory to God. I love you folks so much. I can't wait until there's not a pew open in this place and the balcony is full. But I can't do that by myself. You need to get excited about what God's doing for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So, We want everybody to file out and get the elements and then go back to your seat before you partake. And then we're all going to take communion together. And so if these two rows would come out and go around and go right back to your seat. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for this year, God, for your hand that has been upon each and every one of us, God. You know every thought, you know every feeling that we've had, and God, you've been there for us. We're asking now your blessing, God, Lord, that we'd see great things happen in this coming year. And God, we're constantly going to be lifting you up and giving you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name. And they all took of that bread. And they all took of that drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Aramaya sato rebayato. Hierradora bahasatiasia. Hierradora baba yesetora baha. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Will you come? Would you come?